You have another patient here, but it looks like it's another MET case, right?
It is. So the first one was MET amplification. This was a MET exon 14 skip mutation. And I wanted to bring this up because I said there's these two drugs, capmatinib and tepotinib and a few others that are chasing down the MET exon 14 first-line signal. And I think there's something really interesting going on here. It's almost kind of like what we talked about with the exon 20 drugs. The response rate that they're seeing are all in the 40 to 50% range. They're not in the 60 to 70% range that we're used to with EGFR and ALK. And they're sort of ignoring that elephant in the room and sort of rushing ahead and saying, you know, we can figure out whether this is a second-line drug or a first-line drug. But I actually think there's something much more interesting going on here. There was a really nice, I think, two or three papers now looking in patients with MET exon 14 skip mutations and A, showing some of them do not express the protein, which is in theory the mechanism of activation. MET exon 14 skip mutations remove something called the Cbl binding domain. You increase the half-life of the protein so it accumulates on the surface of the cell and it auto-aggregates and starts signaling. But some of these people don't have protein. So clearly that is not the driver. And some people, maybe about 10%, have a clearly identifiable other driver. MET exon 14 was attempting to be a driver and somehow got subverted and the cancer used something else. Mostly we've seen KRAS mutations, but we've also seen EGFR mutations in ALK. And that means maybe some of that 40% response rate is your denominator is stuffed with people who actually aren't sensitive to MET inhibitors because they don't make the protein or they've got another driver oncogene. And I think when you look at the studies, capmatinib made a big deal out of the fact that their first-line study had a 70% response rate, but in the second line it had a 40% response rate like everyone else. And if you look at tepotinib, its response rate is 40 or 50%, whether it's in the first line or second line. So it's not that capmatinib is somehow a better drug. In these small studies, I think they just got lucky and had a few more of the people who are truly MET-driven. And the reason that matters is if somebody comes along with a much more definitive predictive biomarker, then the whole field gets shaken up. And I think that's what's going to come. I think you should get MET exon 14 genetic testing, and then you should at the very least confirm it with MET protein expression. Because you don't want to waste someone's time with a treatment that's never going to work if that's not actually their driver.
Do you think that that's a feasible goal?
Yeah. I mean, I think what will happen is the companies who are going to be first to market will ignore me, which is totally fine. You know, their goal is to get their product licensed and to make money from it. Whoever is, you know, Johnny come lately with their third to market probably needs to invest a lot of money in developing a more specific predictive biomarker because then they'll be able to claim their response rate is 70%. It's not because their drug's any better. They're just giving it to the right people. Imagine this is, you know, we go back in the time machine and you're developing a drug for EGFR and your predictive biomarker is EGFR FISH amplification. And then I'm coming up later and saying mine is an EGFR mutation. So maybe one gets licensed, has a 30% response rate, and I come in with a better diagnostic and I have a 70% response rate.
I actually remember that happening.
Yeah.
Right? That's the way
not long ago.
That was the case not too long ago, exactly what you said, right? I think there wasn't the adjuvant trial, I forget the name of it, was based on amplification of EGFR.
That was the Radiant trial. Yes, it was.
Right.
Good memory.